Now find island-inspired, limited-time flavors at Whole Foods Market for the Explore the Tropics sales event. Enjoy pre-marinated mains like mango coconut salmon and pineapple teriyaki chicken, and pair them with seasoned, ready-to-heat beans from a dozen cousins. Need dinner and a snap? Grab zesty lime shrimp salad, mango turkey burgers, and more from prepared foods. And, of course, there's the mango yuzu chantilly cake. Explore the tropics and save at Whole Foods Market in-store and online.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, let's talk about education to begin with. All trainee teachers are going to have to undergo mandatory placement in special education under reforms that are being proposed by the Minister for Education, Helen McEntee. It comes as there is a threefold increase in autism prevalence in the past decade, which has resulted in schools right around the country struggling to address the needs of students with additional needs. Anne-Marie Ford is the principal of Scull Nave Columbkill in... I always get confused with this one, Anne-Marie, because it's Toker in Cork. What do you call it in Louth?
Toher. Although the locals do call it Toker as well, in fairness.
Okay, so we're not completely at odds there. Louth and Cork, you're united in how to say it properly. Anne-Marie, tell us a little bit about, I mean, you're a principal now, so maybe you're out of college a few years, but how much emphasis was put on special needs when you were training?
Little to none. But then in fairness, I suppose, when I was in college, we didn't see the prevalence that we would see today. So I would have had no training. I've spent the last 7 years upskilling myself in this area and kind of getting a handle and an understanding of it in order to help the children in my own school.
Tell us what it is like in the school right now. Obviously, we'll respect students' privacy and all that, but how has it changed?
I suppose we have four early intervention classes for children with a diagnosis of autism alongside the mainstream school. So it's effectively like running two schools, so to speak. It's very busy. You need a good skill set. You need good knowledge in order to progress the children and help them. And to, I suppose, for myself, to help my teachers and to support my teachers in the classroom and with the issues that arise for them. I suppose a number of years ago, we marched on the dole in order to get sufficient support for the children in our school, SNA support, as we were really struggling. And I would have been on with Pat Kenny in the past speaking on this issue. And we were very successful in getting what we needed. But I suppose the assumption today of having 25 to 30 neurotypical children all learning in the same way is gone. Like special needs, it's not just about special classes, it's about every class today. And I suppose a lot of the concern is around behaviour management, not differentiated learning necessarily, which would be, you know, looked at in the training colleges. And more needs to be understood in this regard. I suppose, you know, education is evolving like just like medicine. There's a continual need for professional development and upskilling. And in the latest, we'll say research-based evidence. For example, Jonathan, I can't imagine a GP not getting trained in the areas that crop up in the surgery. I mean, what would be the outcome for the patients in that case?
It's a real challenge. One of the things that I really liked about our system, Anne-Marie, was we didn't other children. And what I mean by that is we children who had additional needs, and there were children with Down syndrome in my kids' classes growing up, and my children as a result then saw Down syndrome as just part of the fabric of life, and it was a great thing.
Absolutely.
What you don't want to do is end up othering children and making them feel different. So how do you manage that when you have those additional classes?
So, like, I'm very much in favour of early intervention. Like, I have a model which I have been discussing with the Department of Education, with Simon Harris's policy advisor, in relation to early identification and early intervention. So, like, our four classes are early intervention. So my thing is about getting in early. Now, we're struggling at the moment. And the reason we're struggling is while we have the skill set to do what we need to do in the classroom, we have parents who are taking children out at maybe 11 o'clock from Toher, travelling all the other way of the other side of Dublin to Dundrum for speech and language therapy, for OT therapy. The child is missing out on the day in school. The OT is getting a snapshot of a child in that time, or the speech and language therapist. We really need a school-based approach where we have these multi-agencies coming in and we're all working together, the teachers, the parents and multi-agency discipline such as OT, speech and language and psychology. Like, now, you know,
can
you
I ask you, can I talk about the logistics of that for a second? And I'm a little slow, so bear with me. Why
no
are we sending individual children all the way across the east coast of the country when it would make much more sense for someone to come and visit the school?
Exactly. For example, we have no OT in Louth. So parents are paying out. I don't think people are really aware of the amount of money parents are paying out for OT, for speech and language, for psychological reports. It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal.
There is no state paid for occupational therapist for children in the entire county of Louth.
Now find island-inspired, limited-time flavors at Whole Foods Market for the Explore the Tropics sales event. Enjoy pre-marinated mains like mango coconut salmon and pineapple teriyaki chicken and pair them with seasoned, ready-to-heat beans from a dozen cousins. Need dinner and a snap? Grab zesty lime shrimp salad, mango turkey burgers, and more from prepared foods. And, of course, there's the mango yuzu chantilly cake. Explore the tropics and save at Whole Foods Market in-store and online.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still reaching for something. The ones who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined through thoroughly modern design. It's got a tough, rigid body design and durable, lightweight monocoque architecture for extra strength. With precise detailing and compelling proportions, the exterior of the Defender is designed with integrity. This is a vehicle capable of great things, engineered to meet challenges head-on with an exterior that's been tested to the extreme. Experience the Defender's legendary capability off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. So, are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
No, there's none available. Now, like, there is, right. There are the positions there, but they're not filled for various reasons. And, like, this has been acknowledged by the government. I know there's a plan underway to address these issues, but in the here and now, there is no. So these parents are taking these children out. Now, for me, it makes far more sense for and to support teachers in the classroom and to support the children to come into the school where these children spend the majority of the day, where they're comfortable, where you will see them at their best, where you will see them at their worst, so that we can have a really hands-on multi-agency approach, including the class teacher. And we're all working together in the best interest of the child.
I remember one of the things that Mary Hanafin, when she was Minister of Education, and the funny thing about going to teachers' conferences, as you used to a lot, they used to like the minister at all, and there used to be a lot of booing and hissing. But one year when Mary Hanafin went to the INTO conference, they applauded her. And the reason they applauded her was she made a commitment to increase the number of SNAs. And I know that number has fluctuated up and down, but that probably was the biggest intervention in terms of special education in this country. How is that working still? Do we need more of them? Or will this training mean that the next generation of teachers coming through will all have an ability to deal with the changing classroom?
I think teachers will, but I think they need more than just having, like, I think we do need that multi-agency approach coming into the school. I don't think this should be a just teachers on their own type of thing, managing the situation. I think, you know, the old saying, it takes a community to rear a child. I really do agree with that. I think we need that wraparound service coming into the school, supporting the teachers, supporting parents, that we're all working together on the same page. I think, you know, and I think early intervention is key here. I think we need to put the money into the early days. And we need to be looking at more integration into mainstream, more inclusion in mainstream classes. So if we can get in early, we can deal with behaviours, we can deal with anxieties, we can deal, you know, put the money into OT, addressing children's sensory needs in the early days, and it will pay dividends in the long run. We won't be opening all the special classes.
It's an investment, isn't it? I mean, what you're doing is you're giving this child a skill set that they're able to use to keep up with their peers, and you're going to have to put less money into it in the future.
100%. Like it's simple economics. I mean, you invest in doing the best for the child in the beginning, and you're not paying out. The taxpayer isn't paying out down the road. And that's, you know, unless we do that, that's where we're heading.
Look, your enthusiasm and your passion for it is coming through, Anne-Marie, and there are many, many teachers like that around the country, and I'd like to acknowledge that. But from the parents' perspective, it can be very different. And here's one News Talk texter who says, there's no therapies anywhere. My child has CDNT since its establishment and has not seen an OT or speech therapist. I don't know what CDNT is. You might tell me what that is. We're almost 4 years waiting. And that, I'd imagine, is a very common experience.
Yeah. So it's the Child Disability Network team. And I suppose it was known as early intervention before, and it would have been an age range of 0 to 6, whereas now it's 0 to 18. And unfortunately, I think there's overwhelm. I mean, we really need to look when we don't have therapists, when we don't have people on the ground in the HSC. We need to ask why. What's going on here? Not, you know, put blame on anybody, but look and say, why is this the situation and what can we do?
Well, I have an insight here from another texter who says, I'd love to retrain as a speech and language therapist. However, there are only full-time courses, no options to allow people who want a more flexible career change. I still have to work while retraining. No option for me to do this in S and L. And someone else says, I have a friend who has a position with the HSE as a speech and language therapist. She's been on the panel and told she has the job, but they won't appoint her because their pay-by-number strategy effectively is a moratorium on recruitment, and no one is talking about this. So, again, it's the classic thing that there's people who want to do it, but the administrative system is saying no.
Well, my suggestion for that, Jonathan, back along, was that we employ our speech and language, like NEFS, we employ people in the Department of Education, and these people are coming into schools. They have, we'll say, we look at, I've often said a lot of our therapists are ladies without being, you know, sexist about it. But, you know, if we could accommodate people in terms of their working hours with young children, what we need are the people on the ground. We need to find ways about doing it, accommodate people so that our children are getting the best chance in life to begin with. You know,
are you seeing it coming through, Anne-Marie? Because obviously you've been principal there for a bit, and you have this early intervention scheme that you're doing your best with. Do you see the rewards of that?
I absolutely do. And, you know, in my school, we take the chance. And this is the other point, Jonathan, that really worries me at the minute. We take a chance. We take a risk with children. So you might have clinicians who will say, no, they're not for mainstream. Absolutely not. But we'll take a chance and we'll say, let's give it a go. And the worry, and why people will say, oh, you know, they're not for mainstream. The worry is if it doesn't work out, there isn't a special class there. So this whole piece is being fed by anxiety. What if they don't have a class? What if it doesn't work out? What if? Whereas actually, when you give a child a chance and you give them a chance to reach their potential, we have so many children in our class that we're told, in our mainstream classes that we're told they're not for mainstream, and they're flourishing. Absolutely flourishing. So it really worries me that, you know, it's an anxiety-led model that we have at the minute as opposed to a child-led model.
International research says this text shows best practices of therapists independent of schools. School-based interventions not as effective in outcomes. Well, any intervention is better than none, which is
Absolutely.
What we have at the moment.
Absolutely.
And here's another one that goes to the core of what parents are dealing with right now. My son is 9 in September. He had his first early intervention OT session this morning. He was diagnosed at 2 years of age. So that's 7 years of a wait.
That's not early intervention. Yeah, no. That's not early intervention in any shape or form.
So you welcome what Minister McEntee is trying to do, at least. This seems to be a step in the right direction.
100%. I think we really need to. And I would also go as far as to say, not just in-house training in terms of training colleges, but retrospective training for those teachers on the ground at the minute as well. I mean, it's so anxiety provoking and so stressful for teachers to be trying to manage situations with no training. It doesn't work in the teacher's best interest, and it most certainly doesn't work in the child's best interest, as they're feeding off the anxiety of the teacher in the room.
Okay, very good. Look, we leave it there for now. Best of luck to you and all of the teaching staff up there. Dude, great work. Anne-Marie Ford, principal of Skull Nave Columbkill in Toker, or Tor, depending on your perspective, in County Louth. Thank you very much for joining us on the Pat Kenny Show this morning. Keep those messages coming into us, because we've got so many parents out there who are dealing with this on a daily basis. And it is nothing but frustration and heartbreak and everything else that they're trying to deal with. and then this extra fight has to be put up. I keep the messages coming through. 087 1400 106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.